Welcome back to the Added Value Podcast. I'm Jules Thompson, an influencer marketing specialist, podcast junkie, chihuahua mom, paleo treats baker, and your host of the Added Value Podcast. Hey guys, I am so happy to be back on the mic and in the U.S. For those of you just tuning in, I recently got back from an amazing life-expanding trip to Europe. I've been to South America a bunch of times, but I've never been over to Europe, and it was such an incredible experience. I have honestly so much to say about it that maybe I'll share at a later time, but we went because my best friend Sona got married in southern France in a little town about an hour north of Bordeaux. And it was absolutely beautiful. It was my first time being in a country that I didn't know the language. So that was super interesting for me to experience. And it was cool to be a part of a different type of culture. Everyone was super quiet all the time, like in restaurants and trains. The French are just like very quiet people. And it was very obvious that we were the Americans wherever we went because we were super loud compared to everyone else. I ate my body weight in French fries because really that's the only thing that I liked in France. The cuisine wasn't really my thing. It was a lot of like veal and duck and horse and just like weird meat that I don't eat. I'm kind of a picky eater, but they had great coffee. Great French fries. I didn't eat a baguette. I'm not a big gluten person. I did learn one phrase in French, sans fromage, which is without cheese, without dairy, because really that's the only thing I could avoid the whole time I was there. But everything else about France was great. It was beautiful. I loved the history behind everything. I loved all the old buildings. It was super quaint and romantic. Keegan has totally fallen in love with the French language. And ever since we went, he's been studying French and teaching himself. And I am pretty impressed. He's actually taught himself a good bit of French at this point. He's gotten me into this very interesting French TV show on Netflix about people being resurrected. It's actually fascinating. It's pretty good. But yeah, France was awesome. And then we went to Barcelona for 5 days, which definitely was my favorite because I've studied Spanish pretty much my entire life. It was actually a double major of mine, if you guys didn't know. And I always have wanted to go and visit Spain. So it was my first time there, and Barcelona was absolutely the coolest city. I mean, the one thing I will say and complain about is that there were so many people who spoke English, I could barely speak Spanish. I was so excited to go back and flex my Spanish muscles, but honestly, everywhere we went had English menus, and even when I would speak to them in Spanish, they would try to speak to me in English, and it was honestly kind of frustrating. I think it's because so many people in Europe and Asia vacation in Barcelona because it's such a fun city that everywhere is just kind of used to English being the common language, and I definitely didn't expect that. So that was super interesting part of the trip. I ended up eating pretty much whatever I wanted. We did walk everywhere, so I actually felt awesome. In the U.S. and like right now specifically, I usually feel so bloated by the food here and there. Everything just tasted and made me feel so light. I did end up eating a lot of vegetarian food. There are a lot of awesome vegetarian options there, which I wasn't expecting, but happily surprised about. The wine was amazing. I never felt hungover or sick or anything once from any of the wine there. And it really just highlighted how much crap we put in our food here in the U.S., even if something is natural or organic, what have you, there's still stuff in it. Because I definitely feel a whole lot different eating very similar things, if not better things here, than when I was eating abroad. So I wish I could just live abroad and eat abroad. If I could just get all my food from Europe, that would be absolutely amazing. But yeah, maybe I'll go into more detail about all the trip details in another podcast. But For now, I'm trying to do my best at readjusting to life here. It's always difficult when you get back from a long trip or vacation to get readjusted to your routine and to being home. But to top that all off, I've been stupid sick the past week. I'm sure you can kind of pick up by my sniffles and kind of how congested I probably sound. Sorry about that. I'm really ready to kick this sickness. I'm ready to feel like myself again and get my energy back and really get back into my groove with exercising and eating well and all of that. I just have been feeling so off this past week being sick and kind of getting back. So I am on the mend. I am on my way to feeling better. And luckily, it was no trouble at all jumping right back into work because I love what I do so much. If I didn't love what I did so much, I wouldn't be here on this podcast sniffling in your ear right now. And I'm so excited to finally share with you guys an episode interviewing my boss, Bailey Dumont. I'm so excited to introduce you all to the lady who taught me everything I know about influencer marketing and who really inspired me to do this podcast in the first place. She is so knowledgeable, like you're about to hear, about the influencer space. She has such a clear vision for how influencer marketing should be done and how it can really impact a business's bottom line. We are the same age, and I'm so impressed by all that she's accomplished in her career. I really, really admire everything that she's done and how far she's come in such a short amount of time. Her official title is Director of Social Media and Influencer Marketing, and let me tell you, I see her hustle her butt off every day. She doesn't half-ass anything. In fact, an example is that today she was catching us up on a cleanse that she recently did, and she was telling Elizabeth and I how awesome she was feeling and a little bit about the meal plan and kind of what she was eating during this cleanse process. And at the end of it, she was just like, "Oh, do you want me to send you guys the meal plan that I made for myself?" We're like, duh, but that's just one example. Even when she's not at work, she's going above and beyond. So this girl is definitely the real deal. I am super lucky to have learned everything I know from her and to be continuing to learn from her. Even though this topic is something we talk about all the time, obviously, at work, I still learned so much from this conversation. And I know anybody listening right now is going to get a ton of great tips and advice from this episode. She starts by saying in this episode, quote, "I usually do best when I wing it." And let me tell you, it works for her. As you'll hear in this episode, Bailey has had to just go for it with pretty much every role she's had in her career thus far. From running influencer collaborations at a Norwegian onesie company in New York City, right out of college, basically before anyone besides Bieber was making money on Instagram. She was white labeling a platform she helped the company build. Then from there, she essentially went into running a brand's social media account less than a year after officially starting in social media. Bailey clearly knows how to rise to the occasion. As you have noticed, I have so much respect for her and how she's listened to her gut when it comes to transitioning roles. She never lets what she didn't know hold her back, which I think is a really important lesson for us all. One of the biggest takeaways I got from Bailey's journey was that most of the time she was figuring things out on her own, not relying on a mentor or a guidebook to show her what to do. She's probably one of the first people working with influencers all the way back in 2015, so I definitely consider her a pioneer. You have got to hear her story about Beyonce because it is a total boss moment. So you are in store for a treat. As you'll hear for yourself, she has worked hard, learned from her experiences, and went from social media assistant to director at a major supplement company in only 2 years. She is the example of what sticking to something and ascending in a career looks like. You guys know from the other episodes that my career journey has been anything but linear, and I'm so impressed at how Bailey has been able to grow in each role she has had, and she's killing it. She's a boss who works longer hours and takes on more than anyone I've worked for, and it's a testament to her character and her passion for what she does. I am lucky enough to learn from her firsthand every day, and it always amazes me how well she understands the influencer industry. She knows its potential when it's done right, and she has always instilled that in us. Her vision for the experience influencers have with our company has been such a treat to live it day in and day out. I cannot wait for you guys to hear how much knowledge and good advice Bailey has to share, and chatting about the influencer industry, where brands fall short, opportunity for influencers to attract more brand collaborations and build lasting partnerships, working with worldwide health guru Dr. Josh Axe, hitting the 100,000 follower mark on Instagram, and her potential wedding hashtags. Whether you're on the influencer or the brand side, I know you are going to get so much value from this episode. Make sure to stop by my Instagram. Let me know what you think about this episode. Even better, head on over to iTunes to rate and review this podcast. You can also follow Added Value with Jules Thompson on Spotify. Now, without further ado, here's my chat with Bailey.
I do better when I wing it and things like this.
So. Oh, yeah. No, totally. Me too. Like, if a call's last minute and I have to jump on it, it's probably better than if I were to prepare for it.
So. If I think about it, I overthink it every time.
Yeah. Well, relatable. Okay, so I just want to start, first of all, by getting really in my feelings and saying thank you to you, because I would not be doing this podcast if it weren't for you and for you giving me the opportunity to work here and have this job in the first place. So wow. You're the best.
It has been super, super fun. And yeah, I love bringing other people on and teaching them about it. And yeah, it's been really fun.
So. I couldn't have drawn up a more perfect mentor. I mean, you've been literally doing it since before influencers were even a thing, since like Beyonce was posting for free. So yeah, so I just feel super lucky to be learning from everything that you've gotten to experience through your career. But I want to start out, I'm just going to try this new thing that I thought of when I was listening to a podcast this morning, as per all of my ideas. But if someone is looking at your Instagram profile and like your top 9 photos, what are they going to learn about you? And if we need to pull it up, we can.
Oh, okay, so I put zero time or effort into my personal social because I run social for everyone else. Yeah, you'll see a lot of pictures. I don't think I have any pictures that are indoors on my page. Very few, so yeah. You'll see that I recently got engaged a Woo-hoo! Few days ago.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, so basically my entire feed is really just a shrine to my man, so...
Oh, tell us about Matthew.
He is the best. We met in college. We met on freshman year spring break, which is like the most typical story ever. Yeah, we were really good friends for a while, and then summer going into our junior year of college, we went to a concert together that was supposed to be a group thing, ended up just being us, and he finally kissed me, and then almost 7 years later, he proposed last weekend, so.
Oh my gosh, are you still reeling from the excitement and everything? I know we all went out as a team last night to celebrate, so how are you feeling?
Yeah, super excited. It's been, a long time coming, obviously, because we've been together for so long, but...
Not a shocker.
It wasn't exactly a shock. it's been super, super fun just to get our families together and start kind of talking about the next step. So, yeah, super
excited. What are your first things, like, on your to-do list for wedding planning? And what are you excited about doing?
Oh, man. I was never someone who grew up, like, dreaming of this ideal wedding. I was always kind of a tomboy, so I honestly hadn't even started thinking about it until, like, now. I think... For me, the most fun part's going to be picking, like, food and music and just the party part of it. So I think we're going to start with venues just because I love hosting events, and I really love doing things and like picking the aesthetics and stuff like that. So I'm really, really excited. I mean, people talk about, oh, I have to pick out placemats, but I'm like, yes, I get to pick out placemats. That sounds awesome. So
that's amazing, because I'm having an opposite experience with my best friend who's getting married in 2 weeks. Like, yeah. She could not be more opposite than you. So it's funny to hear how everybody's different in the wedding planning process. So that's super fun. Yeah. Well, let's go back and kind of talk about how you kind of got started in the career that you have now, kind of maybe starting from after you graduated and then leading up to how you found Ancient Nutrition.
Yeah, absolutely. So in school, I studied public relations and psychology. So I always thought I'd be a psychologist, and then realized how much grad school that requires and was like, no, I think I'm good, actually. So switched gears really quickly after that. Right after I graduated, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew I wanted to move at some point just because I'd lived in Nashville my entire life. I went to school in Knoxville and was just ready for a change. So right after school, I was working retail, actually, for a couple of months. I got really, really lucky, I'd never worked retail before, landed a full-time job, and then 2 weeks later was promoted to a manager. So it was just really fast and furious learning merchandising and retail and things like that. And then one of my best friends growing up got a job in New York at a kind of a Norwegian streetwear startup that specialized in the adult onesie. And he gave me a call one day and was like, hey, we're just starting our US office. We're hiring for someone to run our ambassador program. So I think you'd be a great fit if you wanted to move to New York and do it. So I never really thought I'd see myself in New York, but I wanted to live somewhere else. So I was like, you know what? This opportunity just kind of landed in my lap. So I'm going to take it. So I interviewed, and 2 weeks later moved to New York with a suitcase, and that was it.
I feel like if there's a time to take a risk like that, it's then.
Yeah,
so that's
yeah.
Super cool that came along.
Yeah, it was really fun. It started as a temporary contract, so it's a little bit more common in European countries. They'll do like a temp contract first. So I had a 3-month contract, and I was like, you know what? I'll get up there. I'll see how this goes. If I hate it, I can come home. If I like it, I'll stay. So luckily things worked out to where I was able to stay. And at the time we had, they had already built out like an internal ambassador platform that was honestly more of an affiliate program looking at it now, because it was, ambassadors would create their own codes and they'd earn commission off of it. And I was basically activating them to do what we called missions, which is basically like a campaign. So we'd have
I like that. Why don't we call them missions?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd be like, you know, one of them would be like get a gift card if you share our Black Friday sale or something like that. So it was super fun coming up with it. Taught me a little bit of social strategy, because I'd have to think up, okay, what do we want 500 people to share about at one time? And, you know, making sure that we had the right hashtags and things like that. So I didn't have any direct social media experience really up until that point. So I learned a lot just kind of on the fly through that. And then the company actually white labeled their ambassador platform while I was there, and I got to help bring new brands onto it and help with a total redesign and making the functionality of the website and things like that. So I love doing demos with other influencer platforms now, because I've seen exactly what goes into it and I know how much work it is. I got to onboard other brands and help them decide how they wanted to activate their ambassadors. So it was kind of a fast and furious time where I was still learning it and figuring out myself, but also teaching other people what I was learning as I was going, and working with much bigger brands to kick off their ambassador programs too. So
how old were you at this point?
Oh, so I moved up when I was 22.
Okay, so as a 22-year-old, you're thrown into this world in this environment, and it's sink or swim, it sounds like.
Yes.
And you swim, but like, how did you have the confidence to just go for it? Did you ever feel, I know imposter syndrome is such a thing these days, with people who are our age now, which is older. So how did you get through that, and how did you feel confident just going for it?
Oh, man. Well, in short, I didn't. I just kind of, you know, I knew exactly what I needed to do to keep my job and to, you know, keep trying to make things better and grow. So, you know, it was really, really hard for a while. You know, living in New York as well, my whole family was gone. My now fiance was back in Nashville too. So, yeah, it was really, really hard, but I just kind of kept my head down and kept going. And, you know, luckily for me at that point in my life, I was able to focus fully in on my work and growing my career. So that was kind of, yeah, I just kind of went with it. I tried not to talk about things that I didn't know about and focus on what I did know about. And luckily that worked for me for a really long time.
This might be an obvious answer, but what resources did you utilize when you didn't know?
Oh man. Gosh, a lot of times just guessing.
Yeah. You do have a great gut instinct, I gotta say.
Well, at that time that no one else was doing what we were doing. So, you know, it wasn't today I've made really great brand friends. So if there's a trend that I'm seeing that I need to get some other eyes on, you know, there are people that I know who I can call and say, hey, are you seeing this too? Is this the right thing? Are you moving towards this? But back then there wasn't really anybody else that we could talk to about it. So, yeah, a lot of it was just trial and error, and there wasn't really a resource. The company that I worked for was really big on kind of throwing people into it and letting them figure it out on their own. So I didn't have a mentor to teach me. I just, everybody had to learn on their own. So, yeah, I really just learned as much as I could. And then, you know, I finally decided I was ready to move back home. And once I decided to do that, actually found a random job posting for the social media manager for Dr. Axe on LinkedIn and cold applied, and then just really, really hit it off with the hiring manager. Mary, my girl, she was the director of social at the time, and me and her just really hit it off over our first phone interview. And then, yeah, they actually hired me sight unseen while I was still living in New York. So I moved back to Nashville and met them all in office on my first day. So
it seems like you had a pretty quick turnaround between these different like transition periods in your life.
It was seriously 3 days. I moved out of New York on April 1st, flew home again with a suitcase. I sold everything that I had in New York. Wow. And then, yeah, I had 3 days to buy a car, move into my house. Luckily I was moving in with Matthew, so he had already picked a place for us and had it ready when I got there. So I had to move all of my stuff in, and then, yeah, bought a car in 2 days, and then drove myself to work on Monday and jumped right into my next career. So
awesome. Well, before we move on from this time in your life, because I just know from the stories that I've heard through working with you, you had a lot of great learning moments and great learning experiences. And I want to touch on what the influencer marketing scene was like back then.
Oh my gosh, completely different. Yeah, so back then, posting for product was still a thing that people were open to. So, yeah, I mean, I know you touched on this a little bit earlier, but, you know, we had celebrities who were actually, you know, buying our products and posting for free. You know, Beyonce's stylist used to come into our store and she would buy all these onesies, and then Beyonce would actually post wearing them. And, you know, you didn't have to do these big contract deals back then. We would give store credit to people. So, at that time we weren't really paying anybody for a post who had less than a couple hundred thousand followers. Which was very few people at the time, because Instagram was so new. You know, to have somebody who had over 100,000 followers was hard to find. So yeah, I mean, even like some now A-list celebrities were like, great, we'll give you $500 and free product. And, you know, it was just, people were more than happy to post for product. I know we wouldn't even give free products to people who had less than 20,000 followers, because, you know, it was just valued a little bit more than it is now. So the thought of sending someone product for free, and I mean, the onesies that we sold average from like $80 to $300. So it was still a good amount of value that we were sending them in product. But yeah, people were just super open to posting just for product. There wasn't, you know, the FTC regulations and stuff like that. So it was kind of the wild, wild west. And yeah, I remember working with like a YouTuber or it was a Viner actually, who was like really awesome. And it was, everybody was just earning commission off of their custom discount codes, and they were totally fine with that. They were like, yeah, absolutely, I'd love to get some free product. And it was a little bit more of a, yeah, of course I'm gonna earn it through commission and not get paid up front kind of an attitude around it. So yeah, early on it was much different than it is today.
I wonder, and I'd be curious to know your thoughts on if or how you think that that affects how you look at influencers now. Like, maybe is it harder to acknowledge people or respect just the average influencer because you have experience with celebrities?
Yeah, so, you know, I understand why it changed. A lot of, you know, the thought of making a business off of your Instagram or blog at the time was just unheard of. So, you know, I understand the amount of work that it takes to curate a feed. You know, as the director of social here, I build out feeds for our co-founder and for our brand pages, and I understand the amount of work that goes into it. So, you know, I totally understand that people deserve to be paid. Yeah, it's a little shocking sometimes when I see some of the fees that come through, just because, you know, there was a little bit more of a level of, I need to work my way up first. You know, I'm seeing really, really small people reach out now asking for money. That's a little bit more just because they think that they, it's almost more that they feel like they're entitled to it, and less so that, you know, they really want to start a relationship with a brand. So, yeah, it's really funny to me when I see accounts that are really just every single post is just hawking a different product, because, you know, to me, it's just, that's not what it was built for, and that's not the direction that I think it's going to go. I think some people are surviving that way for now, but I don't think it's going to last long.
So while we're on the topic, I want to go ahead and get your philosophy and what you've taught me and Elizabeth about how to really do influencer marketing the right way for a brand.
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that I learned with white labeling the platform before, it was super gamified. So when we first brought in new brands, it was really, really difficult at first because we'd already built a relationship with our influencers, but they were trying to get basically our influencers who are already on the platform to buy into their brand as well. And doing that through a gamified system that didn't have as much of a personal connection was a lot harder. So, you know, that's something that I really learned was, I feel like the more personal your relationships are with these influencers, and kind of seeing them as humans and working with them on a human connection instead of just as a transaction, gets so much better results. You know, I think both the influencer and the brand feel better about the collaboration when it's, when there is that human connection, that, you know, that care piece of it that comes into it. I feel like a lot of times people today will try to make influencer marketing just seem like, oh, let us run your campaigns for you, we'll put it into hands and you'll get posts. But, you know, if they don't actually care about the product, that reads. And we need to, I think brands especially could all bring a little bit more of that personal care with their influencers and actually think of them as people instead of just as a number. And I think, you know, I think it shows through the influencer posts that we get that people actually really do love our brand and that they're not just doing it for, you know, a quick buck.
Absolutely. I'm praise handsing over here, people. This is where I learned it all from and why I'm so passionate about what I do. And building relationships is something that I love doing and I think is one of my personal strengths. So when you, I guess we'll start with when you came onto the team here and you were in social media strategy, how did you bring what you learned from your last job and the importance of, like, how did you start the influencer program here and get people to take notice of it? And then when did you know it was time to kind of scale that part of this business?
Yeah. Oh, man. So when I first started, it really was just learning social from the ground up. But as I got my feet under me there, I was talking to who used to be the president for the Dr. Act side of things. And he was like, hey, I know you had experience in this. What would it look like for us to do it too? And I was like, oh, cool. I get to do this here too now. So I kind of put together a proposal that basically started with just seeding people of, you know, at that point we really only had our bone broth protein line. And I was like, you know what, let's start getting it into people's hands, seeing how it's received. And at the time we were doing just product seeding. We weren't paying anybody. It was just, let's put product in their hands, get some post back. So it was really at first just sending a lot of cold reach out to people, sending them a package, and then waiting to see if they shared or not. And if they shared, then they were someone that we would continue to reach out to. And if not, you know, we'd try to follow up and see if it was, you know, that they didn't like the product or see what was going on there. And then, you know, if it wasn't the right fit for them, it wasn't the right fit for them. So it was really just a lot of sending product to a bunch of different people to see if it would stick. And then from there, since I was still doing all of our social, and at that point, the director of social media actually left for maternity leave. So after that happened, I really needed some more hands. So we started using, a platform to help as well. So, which did make it a little bit less personalized and, took away some of those personal relationships that I'd had built with some of the people. So yeah, we started using a platform just to help get more product into hands. And I think our first campaign that we did through a platform, we had like 5 people in it.
Oh yeah, I've seen those spreadsheets.
Yeah, yeah. And we, it was a paid campaign, but we paid everybody maybe like $50 or $100. Yeah, and then we just kind of tested with small scale campaigns at first to see what was going to take off. And then just kind of kept testing from there. All of a sudden they gave me a little bit more budget and I was like, awesome, let's send them a bundle of 3 different products this time instead of just 1 flavor. So then we started sending them a bundle of products and we realized, oh, if we put it in a custom box with some tissue paper, then people actually post about us twice because they'll have this great unboxing experience. So then we started doing that regularly and then we realized, oh, if we include a piece of swag too, sometimes they'll post with that as well. And then all of a sudden it was like each campaign we were doubling, tripling, quadrupling what we had done for the campaign before. So we learned those really key things. And then kind of as the company changed, we actually brought on an investment, and the investors from that firm were, you know, they saw the value in influencer marketing and they, you know, wanted to see that grow. So kind of from the leadership level, people really started paying attention to what we were doing because it was new and it was something that the company hadn't really tested with much. So at that point we realized, all right, this is something that we're actually going to invest in and start to scale. So we started, you know, ordering custom boxes regularly and started budgeting ahead for product we were going to send and started planning ahead for campaign launches to make sure that our influencers and ambassadors would get those packages first. And yeah, as we kept growing, it got to a point to where I couldn't do it all on my own. So, you know, we were using platforms and still getting great results, but I still so much so believed that those personal connections were the most important. And yeah, they decided they believed in the idea so much that they wanted to build out a full team of influencer marketing specialists underneath me. And then that's when I got to meet the fabulous Julia and Elizabeth and bring them on and kind of teach them everything that I knew and teach them, you know, exactly what I wanted our program to grow to be. And now, you know, we're scaling so incredibly quickly. So I think like the first month you guys were here, I think we did 3 times the amount of reach we usually do in a month. So yeah, it's been really crazy to see how much it can scale just having more hands on deck.
So just to give us an idea, how much time was between when you kind of came on and started, you know, seeding influencers for the first time and when you were ready to hire?
That whole process took about a year. So I think we did our first campaign on a platform, like, I want to say it was like February of 2017. So maybe a little more like a year and a half.
Yeah. Wow.
Case. Yeah. So, but it, I mean, you've seen the campaign reports. It was super small. It was very much so just a test, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you recommend that brands starting out start with their influencer strategy first or their social strategy first or at the same time?
That's a really interesting question. I think starting with social strategy makes it a little bit easier because you'll start to see people naturally engaging with your brand, which can help you pick, you know, who is our target ambassador and influencer, and then seeing who's naturally engaging with your products and who's naturally posting with you, I think really helps. And honestly, influencers are more likely to work with you if they think that you have some credibility on your account too. So you know, I love reposting our influencers' content on our page. I love giving them that credit and that kind of extra thank you and exposure. So, you know, I think it's more important to have a strong social strategy first and then scale your influencer strategy along with it.
Absolutely. And I was going to go into that about how you're so intentional about integrating influencer content into the Ancient Nutrition social. So what do you think are some tips for brands who want to use influencer content, or what are some tips for influencers who want to be featured on a brand's?
Yeah, so in terms of advice for brands, just always, always give credit to the people who originally created the content. You know, just knowing how much work goes into that, it's so, so important to make sure that those people get every bit of credit that they deserve. Yeah, and I think in terms of influencers, some advice, so this is a little bit more specific to the company that I work for, but, you know, as a supplement company, it's a lot easier for me to repost their content if I know exactly which product they used. Even if a product is visible, that's even better, because if you're scrolling through your feed and you don't see which product it is, you might not even notice that it's a recipe using something from us. So, you know, product visible is always a plus. Being crystal clear in your caption of exactly how you're using the product is great. And then, you know, any other thoughts that they have on the product always help. So I know we love reposting recipes, and when we do that, we try to offer the full recipe to our social followers, because they're probably not going to be willing to, you know, hop back and forth between accounts just to get the recipe. But we found if we post it, then a lot of times people will save it. And then not only are they saving the recipe, but they're also saving how to get to that influencer. So I think it gives them more opportunities to have people finding their accounts and growing their social following as well.
Awesome. Well, I know that a lot of influencers listen to this podcast. So with your, 6 years of experience almost working with influencers, what are some of the best qualities you see in the people that you love working with? What makes you want to continue partnering up with someone? And then what are some kind of no-nos that make you not want to work with people again?
Oh, that's a great question. So I think if people... This is kind of a PSA to all influencers, is don't reach out for products that you don't think that you'd actually like or use. I see so many people who are just like, oh, I'm going to reach out to every brand I possibly can and see how much money I can pull in through it. And it's just so obvious to spot when that's happening. So, you know, definitely bring your passion into it. And if you're cold reaching out to a brand, tell them why you love them and why you want to work with them, because you know, that genuine edge is really going to shine through. And that's exactly the kind of people that we want to work with. And those are the people that we're willing to pay a little bit more to. Yeah, you'd be amazed how many people will reach out to me and be like, hey, I love your brand. I really want to do some sponsored collaborations with you. And then I'm like, great. Have you ever tried our products? Oh, no, never. I'm like, okay, well, that's step one. So let's make sure that you actually like it first. So, yeah, I think just being a little bit more upfront on if you've tried the product or not, and just being willing to try the product and give genuine feedback before you start talking about a sponsored collaboration is always super appreciated, because, you know, it goes both ways where, you know, influencers feel like, you know, they deserve to be compensated and, you know, deal with, you know, have companies respect them. But, you know, sometimes people will forget that there are humans that are reading the emails that they're sending. It's not just going to some big mega corporation. It's coming to humans who want to have that connection with people too. So yeah, that's probably my biggest piece of advice. And then, yeah, I think coming with numbers too. I've been so impressed with influencers who will, you know, reach out to me wanting to do sponsored collaborations and tell me, and this is exactly what you can expect from one of my posts. You know, that is so important. And especially as a data-driven company, it's really important for us to know what exactly we're getting for every dollar that we spend, because we're still small and, you know, we are still at a place where, you know, budgets aren't, you know, free flowing and it's just like, oh, let's just throw money at a problem. You know, we have to be super intentional about every single dollar that we spend and making sure that we're bringing in people who are actually going to, first of all, be willing to share the actual result that they're getting. And yeah, just people who even look at the numbers. I remember I had a call with someone recently who wanted, it was more of like a celebrity type deal, and they wanted, I mean, thousands upon thousands of dollars. And, you know, when I, this is actually my boss was talking to them, and she asked, okay, so what result can we expect to get? And the manager actually laughed. He goes, oh my God, no one's ever asked me that before. It's just baffling to me that, you know, as an employee, I know so much what's expected of me and why I earn what I earn. And I feel like if influencers want to be paid and respected and have these great relationships with the brand, they have to come with a little bit of that business professionalism as well.
Retweet. Let's just like pause there. Let that all sink in. No, and I think that influencers appreciate that perspective, and that's what they want. You know, most of them at this point do have the best intentions of actually coming at it like a business and consider themselves entrepreneurs. And so I think that advice is super solid and is only going to help them reach their goals a little bit faster and work with more brands and keep those relationships.
Absolutely. And man, if you're willing to, I'll say the people who have really gone above and beyond, like, you know, we're still talking through contracts with one particular influencer right now, and I sent her a bunch of product just to try first. And I mean, she's been posting about us every single day since I sent her that product, and we haven't even nailed down the contract yet. And, you know, because of that, you know, as I've been putting together the contract, I'm planning to offer her more than we would offer the average influencer, because we've already seen the result and the value that it adds. And those are the type of people that we want to invest in. So yeah, big piece of advice would be, you know, take free product first, and then if you really want to get into sponsored posts, you know, show them that you're actually passionate about it and that you really want to do it.
What do you think are some trouble spots that certain brands might get into with influencers that kind of affect the rest of the industry negatively?
Oh man, there are so many brands that are just paying crazy money. That's one thing that I've seen that's been happening a lot is also exclusivity contracts. I feel like a lot of brands are just paying absurd amounts of money for those. And it's definitely a personal opinion. To me, I would never tell people what they can and can't post about unless it's like legal reasons with like FTC compliance or something like that. But yeah, I've seen a lot of brands who will just reach out to anyone and everyone and offer, you know, just, I mean, money that there is no way they're getting any sort of an ROI on. And yeah, because that has kind of created this perception to influencers that that's what they can expect everywhere. And, you know, it's not the case. And I know a lot of brands have done the thing where they'll throw a bunch of money at it at first so that they get that kind of social credibility, and then they just stop. They stop doing their influencer marketing efforts altogether. And then, you know, what happens to those influencers who thought that that was something that would continue, and then all of a sudden it's just kind of pulled out from under them?
Yeah, definitely. Well, what are some brands that you look to as peers of doing it right and who are really successful with influencer marketing?
Yeah, oh man, I love the Perfect Bar team. I've gotten to know them in person as well, which is awesome, but I think they bring that personal approach to their influencer efforts as well. And I will never forget watching at like a big trade show, the person who runs their influencer marketing standing at their booth and just seeing influencer after influencer run up and give her the hugest hug. They just like, yeah, there's a friendship there. And I remember seeing that and saying, that is how it's done. That is exactly what influencer marketing should be. It should be a personal relationship, and it should be, you know, your best friend within the brand, and you know, they should know what's happening. And I just remember seeing that and just being blown away and just saying, like, this is exactly what I want our program to look like. And yeah, that's why we hired people instead of platforms when we decided it was time to scale. I'm trying to think of some, I know I brag on them all the time to you guys, but I'm trying to think of some other ones. You know, I think Daniel Wellington, the watch brand, they've done an incredible job of, you know, they're just kind of everywhere, and they really attributed a lot of their success to getting into influencer marketing early. And they do a great job of reposting content as well. I think they do really, really great job. Yeah, I love the way that Revolve does their influencer marketing. I think, you know, they're a pretty obvious one. Their events and just the way that they bring influencers in a really unique way. Movement Watches is another one that I think does really well. They're always kind of on the forefront of testing influencers in different platforms and things like that. So, yeah, those are kind of the biggest ones that come to mind.
What do you think is the most important part of the relationship building process with influencers, and what piece or what part of the puzzle does seeing people in person play? Like, how important do you think that that is when building these relationships that you talked about?
If you have the opportunity to meet your influencers in person, I would so recommend it. I feel like all of the best relationships that I have been with people who I got to meet in person and talk to on a personal level. And then just kind of having those conversations with people, like, I want to know what your dog's name is, and I want to be able to, you know, talk to you about that if I see you in person. So, you know, to me, when I reach out to influencers, I don't just say, hey, we have a campaign. I say, hey, how's it going? I just saw you post this recipe. I can't wait to try it. You know, actually, I actually follow most of the influencers that I work with, so that I have an idea of what they're up to and what they're doing and what they're interested in. And, you know, one of the influencers that is one of my absolute favorite people to work with in the world launched her own product line. And, you know, I love being able to support it and, you know, use it personally. And, you know, if I see an opportunity pop up for her to get more exposure too, I love offering that to her. So, yeah, I think just coming into it as a human, so many people just look at it as a transaction. But if you come into it with a human, you're going to get, first of all, better results because it's going to show in their post, but also just, you know, you feel better about it at the end of the day. I've seen so many brands who kind of take the you're not cool enough to play with us approach, and I just, you know, it's just not my style, and it's not the direction that I think is sustainable.
Absolutely. And clearly, you know what you're talking about when it comes to social, because just recently, like a couple weeks ago, our brand hit over 100,000 followers on Instagram.
Yes, yes.
So congratulations to you on that huge accomplishment. I know it's been long time coming. So I just want to pick your brain a little bit about building a brand on social media. And I'd even love for you to talk about Dr. Axe's brand too, and the difference between managing a supplement brand and then a personal brand of Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, with the brand side of it, you know, it's really unique to the supplement and like natural health world that we work in, because, you know, people want it to be trustworthy. So I kind of had to unlearn a lot of what I'd heard before of, oh, you should have this amazing cohesive Instagram feed and everything should be just stunningly beautiful. But, you know, I kind of learned for our audience, they respond better to real and approachable. So that was kind of a big turning point for us, is when we stopped doing these really gorgeous photos and tried to focus more on the real and approachable side. And, you know, just kind of putting the customer first, thinking about what do they want to see. And, you know, instead of just posting a picture of a product every day and saying, like, we love this product, don't you? You know, posting it instead and saying, here are 5 ways you can use this that you might not have heard of before. And just thinking of the value that you're giving your customers first. Yeah, and when we started kind of switching our thought process to that, it really started taking off. And then, you know, reposting our influencers, getting that social proof, but also giving the rest of our followers a better idea of how to use different products was really, really helpful too. But yeah, then kind of switching over to managing social for a person. You know, I'm very, very lucky working with Josh because he is so, so knowledgeable about social himself, and he is involved, which is amazing and honestly kind of rare for running social for a person. A lot of times they don't want to be involved, but, you know, he cares and he wants to. So, you know, he does a great job of sending me photos of what he's actually doing and then letting me just do the, you know, optimization piece of it, picking the right time to post it, doing a caption, picking the right hashtags, things like that. But yeah, it's been really great kind of having him be a partner in it instead of, you know, just kind of making me go into it blind. So yeah, it's really amazing running it from his perspective and seeing the impact that he has on people every day and kind of hearing their health stories. And, you know, I know that's something that he personally checks too. So yeah, it's been really fun kind of thinking of, also I spend a lot of time filming with him. So kind of hearing, you know, just off the cuff, I'll be like, hey, what are your top tips on hormones or something? And he'll just, you know, 45 minutes later, I have the most in-depth explanation I could have ever wanted. And yeah, so then just being able to take information that he provides and get creative on how I want to present it. So whether it's memes or an infographic video or, you know, if we do an IGTV with Josh or something like that, finding these unique ways to present his information to people in a way that, you know, they might not go to a blog post to search for, you know, I don't know, how to heal candida, but maybe they have it and they come across it and they realize, oh my God, this is exactly the information that I needed. And then being able to really help people along their health journey that way has been incredibly rewarding.
That's amazing. And, you know, Dr. Axe has millions of fans and followers, and I can't tell you how many times I email influencers and they write me back and they say, oh my gosh, I just read Dr. Axe's article on hormonal imbalances or essential oils, you know, so people really love and relate to his content, and you have such an awesome opportunity to be around him and, like you said, hear firsthand a lot of his advice. So what are some of the top things that you've taken away from your time with Josh and working with him and getting to know him?
Oh, man. It really is incredible working with him and kind of seeing just the wealth of information that he is. I mean, I'll walk in with 10 video topics one day and he'll just, off the top of his head, he'll be like, all right, what are we talking about today? I'm like, oh, we're talking about, you know, 5 tips for whatever. And he'll just look at it and he'll think for a second and like, all right, I'm ready. And then just jump right into it. And I mean, it's incredible to watch, but I feel like, you know, I've seen huge changes in my personal health, just being able to listen to the advice that he's giving other people. You know, being able to identify imbalances that I never would have been able to identify myself, because I've heard him explaining it on video or, you know, to a big group and things like that. So yeah, I mean, he's taught me how to always look ahead too, because he's always looking ahead. So, you know, he really encourages me to do my best all the time, because I know he has high standards for people that work for him and around him. And, you know, it's really encouraging knowing that, you know, I do have someone who cares, who's looking at what I'm doing. And, you know, if he didn't care, I probably wouldn't care as much. And, you know, it's Well, no, that's probably not true. Probably not true for me because I'm a bit of a perfectionist. But, you know, it's helpful that I know that he cares and that he's watching. And I have so much personal respect for him that it makes me want to present him in the best possible way whenever I am creating some of the content for him. So,
true or false, he can tell anyone what their dosha is.
Well, I don't know about doshas, but Chinese elements for sure.
Oh, shoot. That's what I meant. Ayurveda, yeah. And TCM are, yes, always constantly, yes, confused in my head. Okay, the elements.
Yeah, it's hilarious. He loves traditional Chinese medicine and identifying your element and things like that. And yeah, he loves to tell people what theirs are and kind of the things that he sees with it. It's really, really funny. Yeah.
That's
it's
awesome.
Like the original Myers-Briggs. It's fascinating.
What are the three elements?
So there's five. Oh. So it's, let me think. It's water, earth, metal, fire, and
there's wood.
Wood, that's it. Yeah.
Wood. Yeah. Yeah, so I was just, you know, trying to test Bailey, make sure she's actually listening to Josh. No, yeah. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's funny. It's like a fun party trick to bring out sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to kind of wrap things up, through all of your experience in the influencer world and everything that you've seen, where do you see it heading in the future?
Oh, man. So I feel like there are... I do feel like there might be a bit of a backswing towards affiliate marketing. At this point, you know, a lot of people want it to be paid up front, but it is still kind of the Wild West. And I think more and more companies are starting to actually look at the analytics instead of just, you know, that social proof of, oh, we have hundreds of people posting about us. A lot of them are starting to look at it a little bit more and say, okay, well, this is how much return we're actually getting. So I do foresee there being a bit of a pendulum swing back to where people are, you know, maybe paying a little bit less up front, but giving some affiliate commissions.
Can you explain a little bit for any influencers who are maybe new or people who don't understand what affiliate is, what that process is?
Yeah. So affiliate basically would be earning a percentage of commission of all the sales that come in from your posts. So, you know, a lot of times it's tracked through specific links or discount codes, things like that. So, you know, when influencer marketing first started, that was much more of a thing where, you know, it was kind of, if you were getting paid, it was probably on an affiliate basis. So I think that's something that might have a bit of a re-emergence. Because, yeah, I just feel like it's so hard to know exactly what to pay people at this point. And, you know, influencers are kind of setting their own prices. And a lot of them really understand exactly what they're giving brands in return. But unfortunately, there are a lot who don't really understand what they're actually providing a brand. So I think, you know, the more influencers can be buttoned up with paying attention to numbers and exactly what they're actually offering a brand, I think the more leverage they're going to have to be able to make a profitable business. But yeah, man, and I just think it's also going to trickle outside of Instagram and start hitting other platforms too. I know there's a lot of people doing YouTube already. Pinterest is kind of starting to emerge. You know, I think there's, who knows if there's going to be a new platform next year or tomorrow or, yeah, I just think it's so exciting to be in this because you really never know what's coming next. So yeah, I'd say maybe a swing towards affiliate, but you know, at the end of the day, we're all just kind of along on this ride together. So
yeah. And I know that you agree with the, I don't know. I've lost all my words again today. with a statement that influencer marketing is just going to continue to grow. And, you know, there's always going to be more opportunity for people who want to enter the industry.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give somebody who wants to break into social media or influencer marketing as, you know, a career?
Yeah. So I just think being really intentional about your why when you get started. You know, I love listening to the Skinny Confidential podcast and listening to her talk about, you know, if people come to her and they say, oh, I want to get started because I want to make money on Instagram, like, she always says, like, no, like, do not do it for that reason. And I think I'd give the same advice to people, you know what you want to share and what you're passionate about, and, you know, don't dip below those standards. Kind of set what you want and your goals and go after them. And, you know, I don't think that these accounts that are just selling a different product in every post are going to survive. I think they're going to die off extremely quickly, and no one likes to be sold to all the time. So, yeah, I just don't sell out and kind of hold on to exactly what your why is, and think about who you and your account as a brand are, and be really intentional about that. So, yeah, that'd probably be my biggest piece of advice.
Definitely. And as someone who always has her finger on the pulse of the newest trends and the newest updates, what are some resources or tools that you would recommend for someone who wants to work in social media or in marketing to really make sure that they're up to date?
Yeah. So, I look at a few different newsletters that I feel like are really, really excellent. So if you've ever heard of the Later platform, they actually do a really great newsletter that it's tips and tricks from the brand side, and from it's mostly the brand side, but occasionally it's things that could be a little bit more from the influencer side as well. And, you know, just like they did one the other day that was like things you might not have known you could do in Instagram stories. And I live in Instagram stories all day, every day. So I was like, oh, I bet I know all of these. And I looked through, and some of them were just blowing my mind. So that's a really great one. And then, yeah, especially if you want to go into social media for a career, I think Social Media Today is a really great website. And they have a really great newsletter, too, that they're always on the forefront of new, really any social media news. They pull from a bunch of different sites. So those are probably my two favorites.
Cool. And personally, what do you like to consume or listen to or do for fun or just for personal enrichment to stay on top of your game as a hashtag girl boss?
Yeah. So to me, self-care is super important. And a lot of times what that looks like is long walks outside. So, you know, I try to do those as much as I possibly can. And then I love podcasts. So I'm constantly listening to different podcasts. I listen to them on my way to and from work every day. So I get about an hour of podcast time in every day.
What are your favorites? Besides mine, of course.
Added value, clearly. Well, you got me onto The Skinny Confidential. I listen to that one all the time. I love Almost 30, How I Built This, kind of the, I feel like the ones that so we're good. Always talking yeah. about in the office. Those are some of my favorite. How I Built This is a really, really great one. Just, I think more than anything, it reminds me that we're all human and kind of reminds you to take risks because you never know what it's going to turn into. Those are the main ones. I mean, I'm constantly reading too. That's one of my favorite pastimes, mostly fiction, but I've read a few personal and professional development ones that I really love. I know I forced you and Elizabeth to read Radical Candor, and I mean, I recommend that to anybody in any profession. It's just such a fresh approach on kind of interpersonal relationships in the office place, and especially if you lead a team, I think it's incredibly valuable. So yeah, those are some of my favorites.
Yay, cool. Well, tell people where they can find you if they want to follow you on Instagram and see all your outdoors and engagement photos.
Well, I'm a very boring follow, but I'm just Bailey Dumont on Instagram. So it's BaileyDumont.
Are you going to change your handle when you get married?
Well, okay, so Matthew's last name is Miller, which is like the most common last name ever. So it's already taken, of course. I don't know. Well, so I'll probably change it, but we'll see. No idea what it'll be yet.
You'll have to get creative. When we were at drinks yesterday at Old Glory, Bailey and Kate and her fiance Matthew were already talking about their wedding hashtags. You want to throw a few out there?
Well, okay, so Matthew had one that we all thought was the best one, and now I can't think of what it was.
They were all murder mystery themed, or like murder mystery podcast themed, right? So. Yeah.
You had
my favorite Miller.
There's actually a scary amount of like good puns for that. Yeah, so yeah. I'm sure you're gonna land on a good one.
Yeah. Well, we're coming to the wedding, and it'll only be Miller Lite is the only drink beverage available.
So. Oh my gosh, I love it! I can't wait. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I had so much fun talking to you. I talk to you about this topic every day, and I still learned a ton. So. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me on. Yeah, it's been super fun. Yeah, I can't wait to see where things continue to go.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Talk to you later. Thanks for listening. There you have it. If you didn't already know, after this episode, it's pretty darn clear, isn't it? The future is female. Bailey has always been super impressive to me, and I'm so lucky to be working under her and gathering all of this knowledge to take with me into the future. She really did inspire me to start this podcast when I started learning from her and seeing kind of the gaps in communication between influencers and brands. And that's really my goal here, is to bridge that gap and to offer views from both sides of the camp. So I'm excited to bring you guys more interviews like this and with influencers so we can continue to have this conversation. Super excited that I was able to share some insight into what it's like from the brand side working in influencer marketing. And I'm super appreciative for Bailey for coming on here and sharing a bunch of the knowledge that she has with all of us. I know I walked out of this conversation super inspired and motivated, and I just appreciate this industry and what it's able to do so much. I'm excited to connect with new people, connect with you guys, and hear what you think about this episode. Make sure to follow us. Bailey is at Bailey Dumont on Instagram, and I'm at Jules THMPSN on Instagram. We'd love to hear what you think and maybe what you learned from this episode. You can find us on iTunes and Spotify. Make sure to rate and review if you feel like it. And I'm excited to keep bringing you awesome episodes every month. All right, guys, hope you have an awesome rest of your day. Thank you so much for tuning in as always, and we'll see you later. Shine on, babes.